Next case of the day, which is Williams versus Williams. And Ms. Garner, is it Kotick?
It's Kotick, thank you.
Kotick, thank you very much. And just, you can take, if you can just hold off for a second while folks are coming in and out. So Ms. Garner, Kotick, do you have any questions before we begin?
Do not, thank you, Your Honor.
And we should note for everybody here present, there is no appellee that has filed a brief in this case, and there's no appellee here to argue today. So you will be the sole lawyer arguing in this case.
One man show.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Stephanie Kotick, and I'm here today representing Catherine Williams in her application for grandparent visitation or in the alternative for a parenting plan through in loco parentes. Ultimately, today we're asking the court to find that the trial court erred in dismissing the complaint filed by Ms. Williams and ask that this court remand it back to the trial level with directions to add the father, Ted Henderson Jr., as an indispensable party.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you as you're just warming up, but this matter is before us on a petition for further review.
Correct.
So your remarks are applicable to what the Court of Appeals do wrong in your view?
It is, yes.
Thank you.
And the Court of Appeals ultimately found that the trial court was not incorrect, that it really had, that the dismissal without prejudice had the same effect as the remand, as it would have had if the trial court had ordered that the indispensable party be added. We believe that that was also an error, that there is a difference between whether or not it's dismissed or whether or not it is the court directs the indispensable party to be added as a party, and that case law and statutory law does direct that the trial court should have given us the ability to make that amendment and add Mr. Henderson as an indispensable party.
And what would that difference be?
Ultimately, there could be issues where if it's dismissed without prejudice, that the statute of limitations could have ran and that it would harm the plaintiff, that they would not be able to file.
Is there a statute of limitations here?
There is not. But in this specific case, the issue is that during the pendency of the case, Ms. Caitlin Williams, the mother, had moved to New York State, had asked for her address to be confidential after she had been served, and therefore, at that point, it is a harm to the grandparent in not being able to reserve her and determine where she is. Also, the grandparent visitation statutes are very clear that the grandparent has an obligation to show that there's a beneficial relationship with the grandchild and that that beneficial relationship is ongoing. At the time that we originally filed, which would have been in February of 2020, the child had been living with the grandparents for up to about 6 weeks before we filed, and that's when the mother as well as the grandchild had moved out of the house. At the time that we had the trial, which was in June of 2020, we were then 6 months out of grandma not having any contact, and then by the time the judge actually issued the order was December of 2020, so now we're a year out, and so then it goes to whether or not, at the time of the refiling, whether or not she would have had a beneficial relationship at that point in time. So there are some concerns that could have had a negative impact had we had been able to just refile.
So the passage of time negatively impacted the evidence that the grandmother could have produced.
Correct. Whether or not that beneficial relationship was something that was so close in time at the refiling in December 2020 or January 2021.
So do you agree that the natural father, the biological father, is an indispensable party?
Yes, we concede that he is an indispensable party. I think case law is very clear. However, one of the things that is important to note, the two cases that we discussed in our brief, Morris versus Ulmer and Davis versus Motes, were both decided in 2021 after the order was put into place that dismissed the case.
But your motion to alter or amend was an attempt to address that issue, is that correct?
Correct. And we've in both Morris versus Ulmer and Davis versus Oates show that the natural father or any parent is an indispensable party. We believe that that is correct. In this specific case, the issue was the biological father didn't have any court-ordered parenting plan or custody. He was found to be the father. He was ordered to pay child support. At the time, it was determined that any grandparent visitation or in loco parentis would not affect any of his time. Obviously, this court and the Court of Appeals has determined that that's not correct and that we did need to have him added. However, under statute, Nebraska statute 25323, that statute specifically says that if it is determined that but when a determination of the controversy cannot be had without the presence of other parties, the court must order them to be brought in. Also, in the case at Howell versus Wilson, which is a U.S. Supreme Court case from 1869, that was also discussed in the cases, the Morris versus Ulmer and Davis versus Oates in 2021. That court also said that the court should sua sponte have caused the bill to be properly amended or have dismissed it, but then it goes on to say if the amendment were not made. The trial court judge never raised the issue that dad was an indispensable party until the time that she filed the order dismissing it, saying he was not added as a party and he was an indispensable party. We believe that that caused harm to Ms. Catherine Williams' ability to then argue grandparent visitation based on the items that I said, the fact that we are not sure at this point where Ms. Caitlin Williams is living. She's asked the Court of Appeals to keep her address confidential, even though she did have contact with the Court of Appeals.
So it's your argument that the court erred by dismissing the case when it should have on its own brought in the father as an indispensable party or should have allowed you to amend to allow?
Or directed us to amend to allow. Either one, I think that could have happened, but I do believe that the court should have at least had made it that it was an issue and allowed us the ability to amend and serve dad to have him brought in as an indispensable party.
At this point of time, if the court were to agree with your argument that the father is indispensable and also that the trial court under 25323 had an obligation to order him brought in, now what do we do if we were to agree with the law and facts that you suggest?
I believe that this case should be remanded with direction for the trial court to direct that dad be brought in as an indispensable party so that dad can be noticed and served with the hearing, with any notices of hearing at that point in time.
To reverse that which the Court of Appeals did with instructions to tell the trial court in turn to do something.
Correct. Both Morris versus Ulmer versus and Davis versus Motes, both of those cases were grandparent visitation cases. Both of those cases had the exact same issue of dad not being made an indispensable party, not being added to the case. The difference was both of those cases, the trial court made orders, and the trial court ordered grandparent visitation. The biological mom then appealed those orders for other reasons, and the appellate courts determined that the trial court did not have subject matter jurisdiction at that point in time because dad was not made a party, and so therefore the appellate courts could not make decisions on the merits and remanded both of those back for dad to be made a party to the cases because he is an indispensable party.
And in those cases, because it was jurisdictional, it could be raised at any time by any party or the court Sua sponte?
Correct. Based on that, and based on the fact that both of those were decided after the trial court, after the trial in this matter, we believe that this court, and under the statute and the case law, we believe that this court, following the law, should remand, ask for, direct the trial court to direct that dad be made a party, as an indispensable party, so that we can proceed forward on the merits of the case at that time.
You would agree, would you not, that where this situation occurs and the lawyer that's in your position elects to stand on the grandparent petition without adding the father, that the trial court would properly dismiss, correct? In other words,
yes.
If you had the opportunity and you said no.
Yes. I do believe that at that time that the trial court should then at that point dismiss because that is an indispensable party.
But you don't believe, do you, that this notions that you were citing from cases about the court bringing the party in sua sponte means that the court somehow has an obligation to amend your pleading or to cause no service of process on its own to be issued. It doesn't start prosecuting the case, does it?
No, I do not believe that. I do believe that it would be up to the plaintiff and them at that time to bring in the indispensable parties, have service perfected, so that the case can go forward.
And what does the record show in that regard, that you amended or sought to amend and you e-serviced the father or what?
We had sought to amend. I did send a notice to the father because father obviously was not represented, so it wouldn't have been e-service. It was mailed to him, not served by the sheriff on that hearing. Father didn't appear for that hearing either. However, the court then denied that motion and stood on the dismissal because father had not been made an indispensable party previous to the trial. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that concludes arguments in Williams versus Williams. So, counsel, you are excused.